Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, good morning once again. I want to take a moment before we get into the Word to honor all the fathers. If you are a father, would you please stand up so we can show our appreciation to you? Come on, men. Don't be shy. Thank you, guys. I've noticed, I've been going to church since the day I left the hospital, which is a true story, and I've noticed over my 33 years on this earth that when it comes to Mother's Day, it's like, women, you guys are amazing. You do everything that no one else wants to do. You're incredible. You make no mistakes. You're the best mother on the planet. And it's like, when it comes to Father's Day, it's like, dads, do better. Be stronger. Stand up, be a man. Like, you guys need to, we need more fathers in the church. And it's just like we bash dads over the head. And it's like, I want to tell you today, thank you for being a father and for loving your children. And especially if you brought them to church with you today, you're doing the right thing. You're raising them the right way. And I honor you because men are vitally important and you guys are doing a wonderful job. And so I'm not here to beat you over the head today. So many dads, I think they don't want to go to church because they're like, all they're going to do is tell me how I'm being a bad dad and how I need to step it up, right? That's not what we're here to do today. I honor you and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for my dad, my two grandfathers, one still living, one is already passed. And they really showed me and taught me what it means to be a man, and I'm so thankful. They were my two grandfathers, just for a moment, if I can share with you, they're totally different. One from Minnesota, one from Alabama, and you can't really get much more different than that. The one from Minnesota, he had one hammer and he had one screwdriver, and he never used either one of them, but he was a hard worker. He had three jobs at one time just to feed his family, always showed up and coached baseball, football, whatever my dad and his brothers and his sister were doing, and he was so loving, he was so kind, and I miss him. He's already passed, but I miss him so, so much. And then my mom's dad, my granddaddy, he's from Grassley, Alabama, and you couldn't find a more country person in your entire life. He coon hunted, he always had a tractor, always had it, still does, and incredible man, music minister and pastor for years and years, and I'm so thankful for him. And then obviously my dad, just an incredible example to me in what it means to love God, to love your wife, and to just be an integral person. The one thing I can say about my dad is he's the same person at home that any of you guys have ever seen, if you've ever seen him minister. And I don't think there's a greater compliment that could be made. So happy Father's Day to you dads. Y'all are doing a wonderful job. And if you're not doing a better job, now's your time to start. I just had to throw that in there. I know I said I'm going to beat you over the head, but for that one person sitting there going, well, what if I'm not being a good dad? It's okay. You can be starting today. So just make a decision today. And then I want to speak just for a second to the fact that we're turning 4 years old today. Y'all, there was times right about the two-year mark that I didn't know if we'd make it to year three. Okay, so here we are at year four. And I want to remind you of something. At the beginning of this year, I did a series called We Will Not Fail If We Fail Not to Love. And in that series, I declared some things that we will do and some things that we will not do. And that wasn't just a sermon series that we kind of just went through and just kind of vaguely thought about. I want to declare these things again of what we will do. This is what God has spoken that I feel like we're supposed to do as a church and as a body of believers. And I'm so thankful that you get to be a part, that I get to be a part. So I want to remind you of these 10 things we will do, 5 things we will not do. We will let love lead. We will believe the best. We will forgive forever. We will say sorry. We will give generously. We will honor happily. We will seek to serve. We will grow greatly. We will protect peace, and we will exude excellence. That's what we're committed to doing. We will not speak evil of anyone. We will not let the rocks cry out in our place. Remember when Jesus said, if these don't cry out, the rocks are going to cry out. We won't let them do that. We're going to be people that praise and honor God. We will not fear. We won't give way to worry or doubt or depression or anxiety. We will not forget the cross. Because if not for the cross of Jesus Christ, y'all, none of us are worthy to be sitting here today. And we will not quit. That's one thing I've resolved. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep going. Come hell or high water, because God is faithful, we're going to keep going. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for 4 years of faithfulness? And here's to 40 or 50 or 60 more until the Lord comes back, we're going to be here doing, because he said, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we have that promise. As long as it's his church, you see, the reason churches don't make it is when they stop being his church. As long as they're his church, he said, I'll make sure the gates of hell don't prevail. If you see a church that shuts down, that doesn't make it, and I'm not pointing evil fingers at anyone or speaking evil of anyone, I'm just telling you, God will sustain and provide and make a way for his church. Amen? All right, if you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet with me. You can turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. This is actually a sermon that I've preached before, and I don't often preach sermons two times, but as I was praying, the Lord put this passage of scripture, this word on my heart multiple times during this week as I was just contemplating and thinking, what do I say to the people on 4 years and on Father's Day? This is what kept coming back to me. And so we're going to read Proverbs 4, verse 23. This is actually the first passage of scripture I ever memorized as a child. And hopefully I can still quote it today without looking at the screen. You guys ready to test me on this? Proverbs 4:23, it says this. We're going to actually first read it in the New King James Version. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, I want to read it in the New Living Translation together. The New Living puts it this way. Guard your heart above all else. I love this part. For it determines the course of your life. Protect your heart. Guard it, because whatever is in your heart is going to come out, and whatever comes out of your heart, that's going to determine the course, the direction, the end, the destiny of your life. One more translation. This is the one that I memorized as a child, the NIV. Above all else, I love how it puts this, meaning make it the utmost priority that you could possibly have above everything else. Make sure this is your number one goal. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let's pray together today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the wisdom that you inspired Solomon with by your Holy Spirit to encourage us to guard our hearts, because if we didn't know to guard our hearts, then we would just be open to anything and everything that would try to contaminate and keep us from being everything that you called us to be. God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, for sustaining us up into this point, and for moving in our midst today, and for taking us into promises of tomorrow. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. While you're being seated, let me ask you, have you ever heard of a river called the Cuyahoga River? It's in Ohio. It's an 85-mile U-shaped river. In fact, we have a map of it here. It starts up here where you see, I don't know if you can read where it says map one, and it flows down this way, and it comes all the way down through Kent, through Akron, and then back up, and it dumps out in Lake Erie in Cleveland, Ohio. Many people, myself included, say that Cleveland is the armpit of the USA. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Apparently, none of y'all have, because you would think that was funny if you'd been to Cleveland before. And this is part of the reason that Cleveland gets such a bad name, is this Cuyahoga River that flows through. Like I said, it's a U-shaped river. It's 85 miles long. It begins in Burton, Ohio. It ends in Cleveland as it dumps into Lake Erie. And it was actually, it's a famous river because it was featured in Time magazine in 1969 for a very peculiar reason. It was featured in Time magazine in 1969 because it actually caught on fire. The river caught on fire. And it's a phenomenon. In fact, we have a picture here. This ship right here, this is the picture from 1952. That's actually when the river caught on fire. It wasn't featured until 1969. There was a much smaller fire in 1969 as a train was going over trail tracks. Sparks flew, and it caught some debris that was floating through the river on fire. And it wasn't really a big fire. It didn't cause very much damage. But because it had already happened once in 1952, where you see these big pictures from right here, these are all pictures from 1952. It was a humongous fire, and it did a lot of damage. Actually, it caused $1 million worth of damage in 1952, which if you factor in inflation and you adjust it to today, is about $10 million. And so it did a lot of damage there in Cleveland. And between 1898 and 1969, the Cuyahoga River actually caught fire at least 13 times due to pollution. So it had become a major issue. This Saturday, June 22nd, when we're supposed to be whitewater rafting on a river, men, will be the 55-year anniversary of the fire which sparked a major response in America to actually clean up our waterways. Now, you may ask, how does a river catch on fire? I didn't think that water was flammable, and you would be right in that. It wasn't the river itself that caught on fire. But what happened is after years and years of the industry development that had taken place along in Cleveland, along Lake Erie, factories sprung up. And as they sprung up, they created waste. And this waste was actually dumping into the Cuyahoga River over and over again. There was actually one pipe specifically that poured in 25 million gallons of oil a week into this river. Okay, so in fact, this next picture, this is a reporter. He went to take pictures of the Cuyahoga and tried to expose how dirty and how polluted it actually was. We don't know this guy's name, but he dipped his hand just in the river and he pulled it out to illustrate the dire condition of the river due to pollution. And so he literally dipped his hand in a river and it came up with nothing but covered in oil. So over 250 million gallons of waste was poured into the river on a daily basis, okay? So you may say, how did the river catch on fire? Well, there wasn't much of the river left, okay? There was river, but on top of the river, there was just, you know, oil and water don't mix. And so it was just levels of oil and waste and sewage and debris to the point that by 1969, if you looked at the river, it didn't look like water because of how thick the layer of oil was. It looked like a river of oil running through the city. And it was so bad that no wildlife could even exist. Even like leeches that usually thrive in a very dirty and nasty environment, they couldn't even live there. Nothing was living in the Cuyahoga River. It was completely dead because of all the pollution, all the waste, all of the contamination. In fact, there's a crazy thing. Just 5 years ago in 2019, some of y'all are like, 2019 isn't 5 years ago. Newsflash, it is, okay? 2019 was in fact 5 years ago because we're in 2024. Just 5 years ago, they declared it safe to eat fish out of the Cuyahoga River again. It took that long. The cleanup efforts began in 1969. And just 5 years ago in 2019, they said, okay, it's safe that if you catch a fish in the Cuyahoga, you can eat the fish out of the Cuyahoga. But here's the problem. Going back to the late 1800s up until 1969, is as Cleveland was growing, because those factories were creating money and economic development, they didn't care what was happening in the river. Now, I'm not someone that's a tree hugger. I believe in taking care of God's earth. I believe in being a good steward of it. But I'm by no means somebody that thinks we need to shut down all industry or we need to use all electric cars by any means. I think that there's a balance. But I will say that it's a very dangerous place to get where you don't care what is taking place to the waterways of America because all you care about is, are we going to make more money? And that's where they'd gotten. As long as they were prosperous, as long as they were successful in making money, they didn't care until the damage that they had to pay for took place because of their lack of taking care of the river to begin with. And so what happened is in 1969, it was featured in Time magazine, and a major massive cleanup took place, and it took over 50 years to clean up, and they still have today be very careful about what comes into the Cuyahoga River. So you may say, why did you give us that entire lesson on the Cuyahoga River? Because today we're talking about this. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because out of it flow the issues of life. And if we're not careful in the life, in the day that we're living, not just if you go back hundreds of years, as soon as sin entered the world, if you are not careful about what comes in, your heart will end up looking like the Cuyahoga River. Because we all have sin natures at the very root of who we are. And we have a leaning and a tendency towards wrong and doing what is wrong. And so we have to be careful. That's why Solomon guards us. He says, look, be careful. Guard your heart. Don't just let anyone in. Be very careful. Be very intentional. Guard your heart because out of it is going to come every single thing that you do. Every word that you speak, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Every thought that you think, everything that you do. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. But he starts with loving the Lord with your heart. Well, here's the problem. If we don't protect what comes into our heart, there won't be any love to give God, love to give our neighbor, or love to give anyone or anything. And so my sermon title for today is On Guard, Matters of the Heart. We need to, you ever grab something and said, on guard, right, to somebody? Like maybe it's a fly swatter, or maybe it's a spatula in the kitchen, or maybe it's an old roll of, when you get with the paper towels or like gift wrapping at Christmas time. And let me just say, dads, that's a great way to just really get out some aggression and anger on your children, but seem like you're being nice and fun in the process. It's like, act like you're sword fighting them, but really just knock them around a little bit, right? Like toughen them up. It's like, that's for that. But they think, they're laughing. They think you're having a good time. In fact, it's so funny, this morning, I was helping get the boys dressed and get ready to come to church, and Bethel and Bo were in their room, and I had one pair of shorts in each hand, and I went in their room, and they like to hide under the covers like I don't know that they're there, right? And so they're under the covers in their bed like I don't know that they're there. And so I take Bo's shorts and I start hitting him with the shorts. Again, getting out some aggression and some anger, but acting, no, I really was playing with him. I'm hitting him with the shorts, and I hear him start laughing, and so I said, oh, he's in there, so I pull the covers back, and I give him the shorts, and I go to Bethel's bed, and I start doing the same thing to him, you know, and then he starts laughing, so I pull back his covers, give him the shorts. As I'm walking out the room, I heard Bethel say to Bo, I took more hits than you did before I laughed. Like, everything is a competition in our house. But today, what I came to inform you and remind you of is if you are not on guard in your heart, anything will come in, anything will go, and you will end up destroyed like the Cuyahoga River. You need to guard your heart from anything that's going to prove to be detrimental to the very being of who God created you and called you to be. So as it said in one translation, above all else, guard your heart. Meaning, don't let this go to the back burner. Don't let this be just a side thought. Make sure every single day I'm having priority in my life. God, I want to guard my heart. Would you help me? Would you show me? It has to be a priority in our life as believers to guard ourselves against bitterness. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the book of Ephesians. He says, don't let put away from you all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all malice. Why? Because as those things stay in your heart, they begin to infect you, and they begin to make your heart become like poison to somebody else. Because not only will those things bring ruin in your own heart, but like we talked about a few weeks ago, hurt people. And as that nasty pollution is inside of you, eventually it's going to come out to your wife, to your children, to your coworkers, to your friends, to those that you're around. Because what goes in eventually comes out. That's why Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now remember, we're talking about guarding our heart because out of it flows the issue of our life. If we're a good man, we have a good treasure of our heart, we will bring out good. But he says, an evil man out of the abundance of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. So he's saying, he's measuring good and evil based upon not just what you do externally, but what you treasure inwardly. And so many times, we only want to base morality, goodness, being a kind person on what we see on the outside. But what we don't realize is if we don't take care of the inside, eventually what's inside will come outside. In fact, one of my favorite quotes regarding the heart is this. Filter what comes in so that you don't have to filter what goes out. So what I want to talk to you about for a few moments today, when it talks about guarding your heart, I want you to get the mental picture of if there was a door, there was an access point, and there was a stationed guard there that was only letting the right people or the right thing in, okay? And so I want to use this as an illustration. I've got here Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. If you guys know me at all, you'll know that Mountain Dew, I think, is the worst drink known to man. And so that's why I picked Mountain Dew, because I think it's awful. It might as well be poison. And so if you filter what comes in, and you may say, well, I don't get to choose. I go to work and I have to hear people cussing all the time. I have to hear dirty jokes. I have to hear this. I have to hear that. We live in a fallen world. There's no way that I can filter what comes in. That's where having the Word of God And that's where having the Holy Spirit in your lives will work like what we call this a water pitcher. And you pour it in, and there we're living in life, and there's always going to be, like I said the other day, there's always going to be the opportunity for pain. There's always going to be the opportunity for discomfort. There's going to be people that are doing us wrong. There's going to be people that are saying bad things. But we need to be people that stand guard and say, you know what? I may have to go to work and I may have to live in a fallen world, but I'm going to renew my mind daily by the word of God. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to have complete and total control, and I'm going to heed to him. I'm going to listen to him, and he's going to become the filter that takes place inside of my heart. And so even though this goes in as Mountain Dew Zero, it comes out as water. And somebody's alarm's going off. That's the Lord trying to get y'all's attention, let you know this word is for you. So, you ever been in a place in your life before where you're like, I just don't have any filter left, right? If they say one more thing, if they do one more thing, I'm going to lose control. Why? Because anger is inside of you, and it's hard to filter that anger from coming out. I'm bitter, and I'm mad, and I'm angry, and I'm frustrated at how things are going, and so I'm going to lash out at somebody, and I'm going to let them have a piece of my mind, and I'm really going to produce hurt, and that contamination, that pollution that's in my heart, it's going to begin to pollute those people. But because I filter what comes in, and someone may say something that's rude to me, but I have the filter of the Holy Spirit to go, you know what? I'm not going to let that take root in my heart. I have a guard stationed at my heart, and it's the word of God. It's protecting peace. I have the Holy Spirit. I have Jesus Christ, who's the Prince of Peace, living inside of me. And so there can be all kinds of things trying to come in, but I'm guarding my heart and making sure that only what is good, what is lovely, what's pure, what's a good report, only those things are coming in. Because if you filter what comes in, then poison won't come out, because it'll get all the poison out of it, just like this picture here, to the point where you can pour yourself a nice cup of water. And even though what tried to come into you may have looked dirty and poisonous, now instead, you've got a good cup of water. All the mountains stayed in the filter and all the dew came out. That was cheesier than a Cheeto, but y'all laughed. You cannot, that's right, good dad joke on Father's Day. But here's the deal. You cannot leave your heart unattended and expect good to come of it. If I were to pull this top filter out and pour Mountain Dew into this, guess what? It would stay Mountain Dew. But if it goes through the filter, it'll come out as water. So instead, you have to build a wall of security and on guard in your heart and decide, you know what, if it isn't lovely, if it isn't of good report, if it isn't true, if it isn't noble, if it isn't pure, if it isn't virtuous, if it isn't praiseworthy, it's not getting access to my heart. Now, you may say, but you don't understand the vile, nasty people that I worked with. You don't understand how bad it really is. Here's what I want to say to you today. You are not in control of everything that you hear, but you are in control of everything you listen to. Okay? You have to take control of that. You may be around people that every other word is profanity, it's nasty, it's dirty, it's slanderous, it's just awful, it's always complaining, they're negative all the time, but you know what you decide? I'm going to set a guard on my heart, and I may have to hear it, but I don't have to listen to it. I'm not going to give attention to it, I'm not going to give it access, I'm not going to give it control, because I have a guard at my heart, because everything that I do in my life is going to come out of my heart, so therefore I'm going to be very intentional about what comes in. I'm not just going to give myself over to every little idea and thought that everybody else has and their negativity and their problems and their issues, but I am going to live in peace and in harmony with God, because everything that I do comes from my heart. You know, think about it this way. Try to put diesel in a gas engine and see how far you get down the road. It won't work very far. Your mind, your body, your soul, your spiritual well-being, the destiny that God has for you was not set up to run on lies, on negativity, on condemnation, on profanity, on lewdness, on all of this stuff. It's important. We can't be like the Kai Hogan, just dump poison, dump pollution, dump all this stuff in and expect it to be clean and prosperous and healthy in the life that God called us to live. You've got to guard and filter what comes into your heart so that what comes out is not nasty, it's not vile, it's not polluted, it's clean, it's pure, it's fit to drink. So I may go to work all day, and there's people around that they don't think the way I do. They don't live the way I do. But when I get home, what I'm pouring out into my children, is not that same vile, polluted, nasty environment. I am a refreshing drink of water. There's peace. There's joy. You know, try putting just living on Twinkies and Oreos all the time and expect to be healthy and fit and shredded and in good shape, right? In fact, try drinking Mountain Dew all the time and being someone that is hydrated and refreshed and good to go. In fact, I told you I don't like Mountain Dew. I am a firm believer. When you check into hell, the first thing they're going to ask is, do you want Mountain Dew or Mountain Dew Zero? And they're going to hand you a bottle of it and make you drink it. But what goes in determines what kind of output that you're going to get. Because Paul said this in Galatians chapter 6. He said, hey guys, do not be deceived. That's another way of saying keep your guard up. Make sure nobody tricks you. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so it's important that we filter what comes in, because what comes out is going to determine what comes back in. It's this cycle that we live in. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. We guard our heart because out of it flow the issues of life. Whatever issues of life flow out are eventually going to come back, because whatever we sow, we're going to have to reap. And this absolutely applies to your heart. I want to ask you, what are you allowing to be sown inside of your heart? What are you not filtering? And you're just saying, yeah, I'm open to that. I'll listen to that. I hope that the next time that you're with that coworker and they start to gossip about your boss, or they start to talk bad about their wife, or they start to, you know, you're scrolling Facebook and you see all these negative, hateful, rude, mean things, that you think, you know what? I'm not giving that access to me. That's poison's not coming in here. You know, think about it this way. If you had a friend and they called you and they were like, hey, you guys want to come over for dinner tonight? Yeah, sure. Okay, sweet. The wife made a pot of chili last night, and we all got food poisoning, and we were all up, you know, losing everything inside of us until about 4 a.m., but we've got leftovers. We thought y'all might want to come over and join us. Anyone in their right mind would be like, thanks, but no. Thanks, but no, that, like, right, I'm not going. Or if someone called you and they were like, hey, you want to get together for drinks? Yeah, what are we drinking? Bleach. Sure, I'll be there. Like, pour me a glass, make sure it's cold, right? Like, nobody would do that in their right mind. But why is it that in the natural, that is just common sense? I'm not going to eat something that gave someone else food poisoning. I'm not going to drink something that will literally burn my insides. But when it comes to spiritual matters of the heart, anything and everything goes. Oh, you don't watch that? You don't listen to that? Wow, that you must be bound to legalism. No. I've been set free by the grace of God, and I understand the pollution and the contamination and what the effects that it's going to have on my heart. So therefore, I realize my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so what comes in, I'm going to filter it so that I don't have to worry about filtering what comes out, so that I'm not pouring pollution. I don't allow pollution to pour into me. Guard your heart. I hope that you realize I don't have room for that in my heart. I'm not going to give place to that. I'm not going to give the enemy the option or the opportunity, because I want to be a person that's life-giving, not a person that's life-sucking. I don't want to walk into the room and it's like, oh, here he comes. He's always negative. He's always mean. He's always trying to make himself look better than everybody else. But if I'm not careful about what comes in, that's the exact type of person that I'll be. You know that person that they start walking up and you're like, oh, look, you know, you see them in Walmart, right? And they're two aisles over and like you really don't even have a cat, but you start going to the cat food aisle, right? And you're trying to just escape this person. Wherever they go, it's like this game in Walmart. Why? Because they're negative, they're condescending, they're going to dominate your time, they're going to talk about themselves the whole time, they're never going to ask about you because they're going to suck life out of you. But if you see someone that's life-giving, and they have the Spirit of God living inside of them, and they're happy, and they're joyful, and they're interested in you, and it's like, it's a joy to see those people. I'm excited. I see them, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I call out to them. And so we want to be people that are life-giving, not life-sucking, but that all starts with what's coming in, because what comes in determines who I am going to be. I'm resolved. You know what? I'm not going to take up the position of offense against somebody. I'm not going to let bitterness have any place inside, but I'm going to lay those things aside and decide, you know what? I'm going to guard my heart. They might have done, I'm not saying that you can just decide, oh, well, what they did wasn't wrong. It may very well been wrong, but you decide the wrong that they did, it's not going to affect me the way that it has in the past. And it's not just a decision that you make. The only way that can happen is Jesus Christ living inside of you. It's not just mind over matter going, oh, that doesn't hurt. Because listen, words do hurt. Things that happen, being left out, being forgotten, being overlooked, people talking bad about you, people lying about you, those things hurt. But you can find freedom if you allow the Holy Spirit to act as a filter inside of your heart and to cleanse everything and to make you pure and to do that cleanup like the Cuyahoga River, to where fish are fit to eat, even though at one point you couldn't even stick your hand in it without it being covered in oil and just completely soiled. So I want to look at Romans chapter 6 and just give me a few more moments of your time, and then we're going to enjoy some shaved ice together. And I want to say thank you to Charlie and Maggie for being willing to come out here today and help us. They were here on the first day that we started, if I remember right. You guys were there, and they are elders over at the Well in Scottsboro, and they're dear friends, and we love you guys so much. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. This is what Paul says. He gives us this command. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, many times when we read, a passage like this, and we see this and we go, don't let sin reign, but let your body be an instrument of righteousness. We put so much pressure on ourselves to not do what is wrong so that we can be an instrument of righteousness. And the problem is you cannot attain righteousness on your own by any measure, any standard. Righteousness must always be imputed by God. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ himself took our sins so that we could become righteous as he is righteous. And that's why Paul ends this with saying, listen, sin doesn't have dominion over you. Not because you're so strong, not because you have the most willpower, not because it's mind over matter, not because you choose this or choose that, but because you're not under law anymore, you're under grace. And it's the grace of God that enables you and becomes applicable in your life so that you are not living under sin, but you're living righteously. You can't be righteous on your own, but you can be righteous with the help of God. And so he says, we're under grace, we're not under the law, we're free from sin. It doesn't have to reside in our life. It doesn't have to be have dominion over us. In fact, if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, after Cain had killed his brother Abel, God shows up and he asks him a question. He says, where is your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? And he says, listen, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. The same thing that God commanded Cain all the way back in the book of Genesis, Paul is reaffirming in our life, and he's saying, look, you should not yield yourself to unrighteousness. It shouldn't have dominion over you. You should have dominion over sin, and you should be an instrument of righteousness. But one thing I love about the Bible, if you read it and you really study it and you really find out what it's saying, and don't just take it at face value and don't just listen to what you think it says or what you've heard it says, but if you actually read it for what it's saying, it will always tell you what to do and how to do it. It will point out the problem, but it'll give you a solution. Everybody, you know those people that they can always point out the problem, but they ain't got any way to fix it, right? The Bible doesn't just point out your problems. It shows you how to fix the issues that face you in life. And so Paul says, don't let sin reign in you. That's the problem. The problem for all of us is at some point we let sin reign and have dominion in our life. That's why Paul said earlier in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it goes on to say, being freely justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we've all let sin have dominion. And so he points out this problem. Don't let sin have dominion. That's an issue. But here's how you fix it. He says, don't present yourself to sin. Present yourself to God. Now, that word present was, I'm not going to say it was mistranslated, but there were some things lost in translation. If you look at it in the Greek, that word present means yield or heed, or to give oneself to. So here's what Paul's saying. Do not give yourself to sin. Give yourself to God. If you give yourself to God, He'll make you an instrument of righteousness. If you will give yourself to him, he will help you to guard your heart and to filter out what doesn't need to be in there so that you don't have to worry about what's coming out. Because if you allow pollution to come in, pollution's going to come out. But if you say, God, guard my heart, you help me, you filter, show me, do I need to have this relationship? Do I need to do this? Do I need to go here? Do I need to give attention to this? Do I need to listen to this? And if you will yield yourself to him like we talked about last week, yielding to the Holy Spirit is just giving him right of way in every single situation, going, okay, God, I want what you want, not just what I want. I want you to show me. I want you to lead me. Meaning my life is not your own. Have your way. His way, his will, his desire, his goal is that you would walk in victory. Victory over what? You would say victory over everything. Victory over sin, victory over depression, victory over worry, victory over anxiety, victory over anything that would try to trip you up or hold you back. God's desire for you is to be victorious. That is one of the reasons he sent Jesus Christ. Yes, to forgive you of your past, but to help you to walk in victory now and in the future. And that's why it's so important that we guard our heart. Listen, if you're dealing with depression or you're struggling with lust or with fear, or an addiction has been binding your heart and holding you back, and you've got a vice that you just feel like, I can't let go of it, and it won't let go of me. Or if you've got these anxieties that sometimes you feel like you can't even barely function, you can't even, you know, get out of bed, or you're not the best that you could be on your job or as a spouse or as a friend because something is limiting you and holding you back, he has a way out. Jesus made a way for you to walk in freedom. The reason that you're dealing with that, and maybe you've experienced freedom before, you've walked with God before, you've felt that peace before, maybe it was when you were at church, someone prayed for you, and for a few days, it was great, it was good, but yet there was still something inside of you that was causing you to feel bound and anxious and worried and depressed and fearful, and all this stuff is coming against you. What happened is somewhere there wasn't a guard at your heart. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He sets you free. He didn't just give you partial freedom. He provided total freedom. The problem is, as human beings who are imperfect, we are prone to let our guard down and not protect our hearts and let things inside that are eventually going to pollute us. And then we're going to wonder, why doesn't God love me? Why doesn't God care about me? Why did God let this happen? God will never allow something that is going to destroy your destiny. I'm not saying God won't allow suffering in your life, because he very, very, very often will. I'm not going to say God won't allow you to walk through a hard season, because he will. What I'm saying is God will never allow anything that's going to destroy you to come into your life. God only allows things that are going to make you stronger come into your life. But God, the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So you need to identify this. If there's fear in my life, it did not come from God at all, because the Bible showed us God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if it's there, I let it in somewhere. And I've got to take responsibility for that. The other day, our garage door opener had broken a little bit, and I needed to fix it. But because it was broken, the door wasn't closing. And so normally we leave the garage door unlocked, and we just close the garage door and go in and out that way. But because it was broken, we locked all the doors. But we actually, I'm going to tell you guys, and just be honest, we don't have a key to any of the doors to our house. If we do, I don't know where it is. But we have a lock on the side that has a key code that we can get in and out, or we can go in via the garage. Well, we locked all the doors because the garage door was up. And I decided we would go in through that side door. We got home. What was it, yesterday, babe? Yeah, from the picnic. We got home yesterday. Went to the side door, put in the code, and the bottom was locked. Only the top's supposed to be locked so that we can get in and out. So I came back around to the garage, locked out. And I said, boys, who locked that doorknob? Then immediately I saw Bo come around the corner like this. I said, Bo, was it you? And you know those little, it's like, it's a nod, but it's not a nod. It's like you have to decipher the fact that it was a nod, right? It's like, and I was like, and thankfully I found a door that he had left unlocked somewhere else. But he had to admit and he had to own up to the fact that he'd done it. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to lock that door. So I'm not trying to make Bo sound like a bad guy, because Bo's only six. He's actually a really good boy. But we have to acknowledge and admit, you know what? If there's fear in here, God didn't let it in. I let it in. If there's hate in here, Hate doesn't come from God. I let hate in. If there's malice in here, you may ask, what is malice? Malice is the desire to see someone else fail and do bad. They got the promotion instead of me. I hope they fail. I hope they get fired. I hope they mess everything up. That's called malice. If there's anger inside of your heart that's making you be someone that you don't want to be, God didn't let that in. You let it in because you didn't have the filter of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, because if they would, when that stuff knocked on the door, they would have said, not coming in. You're not allowed here. You don't have access to this heart. Because everything that flows out of this heart is going to determine the course of this life. And so it's vitally important that you protect your heart. Somewhere we let our defenses down. We let our guard down. Somewhere we weren't attentive to what we were supposed to be doing. And we let poison get into our system. Everything that you do flows from your heart. So you should probably start protecting it. But here's the good news. I love giving good news. Good news is this. The Cuyahoga took 50 years to clean up. Actually, that's the bad news. The good news is it doesn't take God that long to clean your heart up. It took him 50 years to get it back. God can touch you today and make you clean and make you pure. When David had sinned against God, he had committed adultery with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. He'd gotten her pregnant. He tried to cover it up by getting her wife drunk, her husband drunk, and trying to get him to sleep with his wife. He wouldn't do it. He goes back to war, and David tries to cover it up again by getting this man murdered. And he'd sinned against God. He'd committed adultery, and he'd murdered a man. And the child that he had with that woman became sick and died. But do you know what David prayed in Psalm chapter 51? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know what I love about God? Nowhere do we have God's response going, too bad, David. You made your bed, now sleep in it. You made too many bad decisions. If you will simply pray, God, will you create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me? He can clean you up in an instant. He can make you, the 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He can make everything new today. It doesn't matter for the last 5 years you've been in the worst sin of your life. It doesn't matter if for the last 5 months you've been running from God, and you've been addicted, and you've been hateful, and you've been angry, and everything seems like it's going wrong. Guess what? All it takes is you being genuine enough to say, God, would you create in me a clean heart? And I'm not against coming to the altar and having an experience. In fact, you're welcome to do that at the end of this service. What I'm saying is right now, we think we've gotten so conditioned that it has to happen this way or this way or this way, because that's how I've seen it. Do you realize that where you're sitting right now, if you mean it inside of your heart, God sees your heart as much as if you came up here to this altar and I put my hands on you and a bunch of people got around you and we slathered oil on you and you fell on the floor? And I've seen that happen and I've seen it work. But what I'm saying is this: you can come up here and all that stuff happen and you leave still bound. You leave still polluted. You leave still contaminated. You're still angry. You're still mad. You're still going to yell at your kids on the way home. You're still going to cheat and lie and be everything that you don't want to be. You're still going to be addicted. You're still going to go home and drink too much. You're still going to go back to that vice. You're still going to go back to this. Unless you, in your heart, you get honest with yourself and own up and you say, God, I let it in. It's my responsibility, but I can't fix it. I need you to fix it. I need you to filter and guard my heart, and I want you to show me what I need to do, who I need to hang out with, what I need to say, where I need to go, and where I don't need to go, and what I don't need to do, because I don't want to be bound. I want to live free. And it doesn't take 50 years. It doesn't take 12 months. And now I understand there are certain patterns of life that it's going to take time to break cycles in your life. I understand that. I'm not against that. What I'm saying is it starts with a heart change. Because you can go through all the programs and do everything that they tell you to do, all the instructions, get the patch, do this, don't do that, and at the end, still be completely bound in your heart. Or you can let God change your heart, and in a matter of time, as you are faithful to lean on him and depend on him, and every single day say, God created me a clean heart. God, renew a right spirit within me. Make me who you want me to be. As we sang at the end of worship, I depend on you. That's what this all has to come back to you, too. You know the most famous passage of scripture outside of John 3:16 is Psalm 23. And all it is David saying, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I need a shepherd. I won't want for anything. Why? Because you're my shepherd. I won't fear for anything. Why? Because you're with me. You and I need God desperately. There's not one person in this room that needs God any more or any less than someone else does. And you want to know what else is crazy? The other day, we encountered a person on the road that was very obviously under the influence of drugs or alcohol or both, but I'm going to guess drugs. And the realization hit me. God doesn't love me any more than he loves him. God doesn't love him any more than he loves me. Every single person in here needs God desperately. But God loves you desperately. He wants to be in relationship with you. And the main reason that God wants you to have a pure heart is because he wants to be with you. And God's a holy God. And so therefore, he cannot come in connection with anything that is unholy. So when he says, be holy as I am holy, it's because he loves you so much. And he wants to be with you. And you say, but I'm not holy and I'll never be holy. All you have to do is say, God, I need your help. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to make me new. I need you to make me right. And I don't present myself to this anymore. As Paul said, I present myself as a vessel and an instrument of righteousness that God can and God wants to use. So just start with this simple prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Because my actions are nothing unless they come from my heart. Why? Because the heart determines the course of the life. And so when I say, I could stand up and say, hey, go and don't do anything wrong anymore. No, start with saying, God, fix my heart. Because if the heart doesn't get fixed, the actions will just repeat themselves. So often what we do is in our spiritual life, we ride a carousel. Carousels are fun for children. Carousels make me sick. Because they just go around and around. But here's what I mean by that. We get on this carousel. Here's the thing about riding a spiritual carousel. It has it has the illusion is the word I was actually looking for. It has the illusion of movement but no progress. And we think, oh, I'm moving, yeah, but you're not going anywhere. Oh, I'm attending church, I'm reading the Bible, yeah, but you're not going anywhere. You're not actually growing because we won't fix the heart. And so we're doing all these actions, all these performances. I'm trying to do good works. I'm trying to be the right person. I'm trying to do the right thing. And it's like riding a carousel where you're moving in circles, but you're not going anywhere. God wants to take you somewhere in your life. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants you to fulfill the days that he wrote in a book long before you were even in your mother's womb. He knows every single one of them, and he has a great deep love and attraction for you that he wants to see you become who he created you to be. But it starts with saying, all right, God, here's my heart. I give it completely to you. But I need you to create a new one inside of me because I've messed up the old one. How many of you guys talking about being Father's Day? How many of you fathers, your child has asked you to make a paper airplane before? Very few of you. Okay, you guys don't have very, I don't know. Your kids don't like paper airplanes. Mine do. You know what? When my child asked me to make a paper airplane, you know what that means? I'm going to make another one in a few minutes. That's what that means. You know why? Because they're going to mess up the one I just made. And the tip's going to get bent and it's not going to fly right. It's the same, and you know what they do after they mess up? They come back, Dad, will you make me another paper airplane? And you know what? I come to the point where I get frustrated. I'm like, okay, no more paper airplanes, right? Like I've made 100 paper airplanes. But I think that God never gets frustrated with us coming back and going, God, will you create a new heart inside of me? Because I messed up the last one. And I did things that were wrong, and I know it polluted me, but I need you to cleanse me. You know what? Every single time God says, absolutely, son. Absolutely, daughter. I'll give you that clean heart. I'll renew a right spirit within you. Because living free is within reach. We talked last week about living free, and I think so often when there's this thought of what does it mean to actually live every single day in total freedom, we think, that's unattainable. It's out of reach. No, Jesus Christ came down from heaven, lived on this earth to bring freedom within reach for every single person. That's why it says that it's not his will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Because God's longing, his desire, is to restore all of humanity to himself. so he didn't leave you out. He didn't leave you stuck in bondage, stuck in addiction, stuck in fear, stuck in depression. He came to set us free. And all we have to do is say, would you create a clean heart in me? Because freedom is not about as much what you do. It's about who you allow him to be inside of you. Can you stand to your feet with me today? Hopefully I've given you enough time to decide if you want blue raspberry, tiger's blood, cotton candy, grape. I hope you guys enjoy the shaved ice that we have and the time that we get to celebrate. I really want to encourage you, if this is your first time here or it's your 100th time here, I don't know how many Sundays we've had in 4 years. We should add that up sometimes. Definitely more than 100 because there's 52 weeks in a year. But I hope that you stay and you hang out. Please don't run off. This is a valuable time that we get to celebrate together. We get to know one another, and we're so thankful for you, each and every one of you. There wouldn't be a church if it wasn't for you, and so we love you so much. But I want to encourage you, if you would, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need God to do some cleanup work in your heart, he's not frustrated. Just like maybe you got that picture when I was talking about the paper airplanes, maybe you're like, yeah, that was my dad. He was always frustrated when I messed something up. He was always mad when I did what was wrong. He was mad even if I did what was right. God's not like that. That's not his father's heart towards you. He's longing. He's just saying, I'm just waiting and wanting for them to ask me to create a clean heart because I'm ready and I'm willing and I'm here and I love you so much. So right now where you are, maybe you need to lift your hands as a simple gesture. Maybe you need to sit back down. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you just need to close your eyes and stand there and in your heart go, God, would you create in me a clean heart? But whatever you need to do to express that to God inwardly, outwardly, right now, just let him work inside of you. Just say those simple words after me. Say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Say it with me one more time. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm not going to say that if you said that, it happened, but I'll say this. If you meant it, it'll happen. If you meant, God, I really want you to create a clean heart. I really want you to renew a right spirit. He'll do it. He's ready. He's willing. And it will only take him an instant. And you can feel that weight lifted off of you. So, Father, I pray for every single person that's here today. I pray for the freedom from the past that you provided through the work of the cross, that we would grab hold of it and we would truly allow you to be our victorious one, our provider, our protector, the one who cleanses and redeems us. And, Father, I pray that you would also give us wisdom and that you would work through us to guard our hearts. We may not control everything we hear, but we only want to listen to what's right and what's pure and what's holy and what is going to be beneficial to our life. As Paul wrote, all things are lawful, but not everything's beneficial. All things are lawful, but I won't be made a slave by anything. God, if there's anything in our life that's going to make us be a slave, we don't want it. We want to stand fast in the freedom that you have provided for us. So we decide we want to guard our hearts and we need your help to do it. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. And we celebrate you and the merciful Father that you are today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you have the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit to guard your heart because everything you do that is going to flow out of it. I speak God's blessing over you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise for his faithfulness?